I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News from the Blue Lady with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, Squeebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob
Hubbard. Here we go!
News from the Blue Lady.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna back. Back from hiatus. Damn work. Damn the man. But I'm back this week to host New Soundwave 97. Yeah. Actually, New Soundwave took a week off, I hear, through the grapevine. So we're back, refreshed, rested, and with Rob, XV, and Peter. Hello, boys. How are you guys doing?
Hello, sir.
Dramatic pause.
My butt hurts.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We told Rob Springer to stop doing that, XV. He's a creature of habit.
Yeah.
Great. So, this week was a big week if you're into first-person shooters and Microsoft and giant brick houses of men
who fight
exploding, glowing humans. Gears of War 3 came out on Tuesday of this week at midnight. As big games are want to do these days, with launch parties coast to coast, geeks and freaks running home giddily with their Gears of War 3 game. I will be one of them this weekend. I'm not that big of a geek. I'm close, but I didn't do the midnight thing. Anyway, Gears of War 3 has come out to rave reviews. It is, of course, Microsoft's other signature franchise other than Halo. I have watched gameplay footage before we get into this. Let me just kind of set it up a little bit. It is gorgeous. It is spectacular. What I will say is, from what I've heard, is the story. I've kind of been spoiled on the story, but it does go into overdrive, explains a whole mess of stuff. We are not going to spoil, though. And actually, there's a really cool feature called Previously on Gears,
nice.
Which is a great way, if you've never played a Gears game, to get caught up on the story.
That's very
And, of course, Gears of War, unlike Call of Duty, has a little bit more to the story and a little bit more reason to play the first person or the single player campaigns. So there are probably plenty of Gears fans that are interested in the story angle. The other thing about Gears is it is a four-player co-op game now, and it comes fully robust with multiplayer action. So there's all kinds of things you can do in the suite. There's things called Warzone, Wingman, Capture the Flag, of course. There's Team Deathmatch. There's a Horde mode. And then also kind of cashing into the zombie craze that has kind of run rampant through video games lately. There's a new enemy called the Lambent. So they are essentially explodey, zombie, glowing, human-y things. So they're essentially, you know, zombies. Cannon fire. Fun, they go down in like two shots. So it's kind of the Gears of War's answer to zombies. So guys, starting with Peter, because Peter, I know you played a fair amount of Call of Duty. Are you into Gears? Do you play Gears at all?
I played the second one. I do like shooters. You know, third-person shooter as Gears of War is obviously a little bit more of a... It's a different dynamic. I'm actually kind of glad to hear that they kind of went on the story overdrive for number three, because number two was kind of like... The story-wise was kind of like, eh, okay. So, I'm kind of glad about that. And I hope they somehow... The game to be very repetitive. That was the big issue. I can't say I was really psyched about Gears of War 3 because I was not excited. I was not excited at the end of Gears of War 2. So,
but story wise or like gameplay wise, like so.
I think both. I was a little disappointed. I kind of hoped that the story was a little better. I didn't really care about the story too much. I didn't find myself engrossed in it. And I found the gameplay to be a little bizarre, a little like not bizarre, but a little repetitive, single player wise. So yeah,
I guess it's kind of. I mean, it's sort of expected, I guess, because the thing about shooters, And Gears of War is just like this. That you do like four things over the course of 30 seconds over and over and over again, right? So you run, you reload, you aim, you shoot, you run, you reload. And Gears of War has actually been pretty good at making those things exciting, even if it's kind of, well, obviously manipulating you. So, you know, when you move your... Right. Your character around, running, right? The camera doesn't just follow him. It jumps around, and there's, like, this excitement, yep. even if you're yeah. just, like, trotting around. Yeah. Like
when you run, nothing. It's, like, the shaky cam. That's what happens.
Yeah. It's like Blair Witch Project. It's like, the most it's the most exciting fast trot you've ever seen a man do. Like, you're hyped for this guy to walk and run. You know,
I was really kind of into this until you compared it to Blair Witch, and then it just seemed to suck all of a sudden.
It sucks less. It sucks less than that, but after a while, you kind of realize, oh, hey, they're manipulating me. It's not, like, running is not this exciting, or everybody'd be outside running right now, right?
Well, maybe if you did have a camera trailing behind you like that when you were running in real life,
yes.
then it would be exciting like that.
And you had a giant shotgun / chainsaw, that would be awesome.
Oh yes. Yeah, the chainsaw is crazy.
That would help.
You like when as yes. soon as you dive into somebody's neck, just like it changes a certain way, and the blood spurts all over the camera. It's kind of amazing.
Yes, so video games are good for kids, and your development. Is that what you're saying, Peter? No, well, I guess
teaching children important life skills. Thank you very much.
Yeah, building chainsaw like, skills.
Before you go outside, you need a weapon of death. Hello.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. You know, I actually read an interesting interview with the creator of Gears of War, and that's exactly what he said. He said, you know, the things that you do over the course of 30 seconds over and over and over again, it's their job to make those not work, and it's their job to make them exciting. And Gears of War does that to some extent, but like Peter said, it does get a little repetitive. And the thing about it is, at its heart, especially Gears of War 3 with the four-player co-op, at its heart, it's multiplayer. It's going to be a multiplayer game. It's probably going to be a game they hope is played competitively at a high, high level.
Yeah.
I know at the launch parties, of course, that they had in L.A. and New York and a couple other places in between, I mean, that's what it was. Like, that was the draw, right? It was a big, like, multiplayer fest.
Yeah.
So they're clearly trying to go after, like, Call of Duty in that aspect.
Yeah, Gears of War 2, the Horde, which is pretty much like, you know, Horde, is a lot of fun.
Yes, it is fun. It's fun. XV Rob, do you guys dabble in this at all, or is this not your bag?
It's not really geared to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never played Gears. I have to admit, though, I like the idea of the previously on Gears feature.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of games have been doing that kind of thing lately, like White Knight Chronicles 2 just got released for the PS3 with a copy of the original game included. Okay. I think somebody is actually offering a free copy of Arkham Asylum along with Arkham City. So, I think this is a really smart idea. You know, that they've figured out that every game is going to be somebody's first exposure to this series, so it's smart.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're actually going to have an ongoing story aspect to it, yeah, you should have recap for people who didn't play the previous games.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, I mean, these days, it's just like kind of like the movie industry. Each video game is so expensive to make now, and we get so many sequels now, to be honest. That it's important to kind of string people along the narrative. You can't just, you know, it's not like we're going to throw out, oh, it's Mega Man 5. I don't, you know, I missed Mega Man 3. Oh, my God, I can't enjoy this. Like, what's happening? Who is that guy? You can't, you know, it's not like that anymore. It's like this fairly complicated story by the time you get to the third or sometimes the second game in the series. So, yeah, you do kind of have to help people along. Gears of War 3 is actually probably the first blockbuster of the winter season. So as the temperature drops and we huddle around our giant flat-screen TVs in our basement and take comfort in slaughtering, yes, millions of alien gribbly things, we also play some other games, including Zelda 3DS, Arkham City, as we said, Saints Row the Third. There's a lot of big games coming out this winter. It's going to be a big season. It's also going to be another season of sequels. We get Ratchet and Clank All for One. Four is the number four because it's the fourth game. You get it. Have you guys played Ratchet and Clank, any of the Ratchet and Clanks? I can't say I have.
No.
No.
Is that one of those things? Is it like Arrow the Acrobat, only for some reason somebody really likes Ratchet and Clanks, so they
just
keep...
It's probably a little better than that. I think it's just like... Oops, you have to be in a certain kind of mindset at a certain age to really dig into that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess so.
I think we're all too old and suck too much.
We're too bitter.
I feel like I'd be and get even more bored of Ratchet and Clank. Could you just go around blowing crap up, right?
Well, Ratchet and Clank is the one with all the crazy weapons, right?
Yeah, it's got goofy weapons and stuff. Diecast in the chat says it was okay. Like the past Ratchet and Clank games were okay.
There's like six of them. Which one?
Yeah. Good God. So, there are two giant games coming out. If you're a PS3 person, at least got Uncharted 3 to look forward to, right? And that's then you've got the other 10 months of disappointment. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is coming out. So, you know, hey, Modern Warfare 3 is going to be huge. Lego Harry Potter is going to be big with certain people. Two great brands, chocolate and peanut butter. The full title is hilarious to me. It's Lego Harry Potter Years 5 through 7.
Nice.
So we're really exact on this. You get Mario Land 3D.
1-4.
Assassin's Creed has another game coming out.
Yeah.
Mario Kart is coming out this season in December.
Mario Kart.
Yeah, and you also get stuff like FIFA, another NBA game, Metal Gear Solid. We're going to get a few of those. We're also going to get HD versions of Halo Shadow of the Colossus, which is a great game. And Eco, so it's gonna be a busy winter.
Oh yeah, don't forget Modern Warfare 3's major competitor is Battlefield 3.
Yes, Battlefield
opening 3. In beta next month.
Exciting! There are
a lot of thirds on here, aren't there?
There's a lot of thirds. There's a four here and there. There's an HD remake here and there sprinkled through.
Game IPs have for years been moving towards the same thing as films. Mm-hmm. They just keep, because it's so expensive that they don't know if they want to gamble on, you know, new IPs. So why not go for a yearly Modern Warfare release or a Battlefield release or a, you know, Uncharted.
Ratchet and Clank gravy train, man.
Right. Why don't they just bring back Crash Bandicoot? Like,
well, with Saints Row, you can't really complain about this.
No. Actually, it's a fun game. So I'm trying to blow through it so I can actually get to Saints Row the Third. But
yeah, I'm really looking forward to Saints Row the Third coming out.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one. And I'm sure it's going to do well because the first two games have been pretty significant financial successes, I think. So. Saints Row 3, probably going to get a lot of hype. We're probably going to start seeing the hype for it pretty soon.
There's all kinds of, like, you know, promo videos and stuff on YouTube and such if you look for it.
Yeah.
So they're working on that.
I'm sure we'll see a commercial, too, here and there, probably during some football games, things like that. Okay, so the 3DS. Oh, the 3DS. So the 3DS, as you probably know, is getting a gigantic, humongous, tacked-on second analog stick control. This is what we call a hardware upgrade. Not, I guess, a giant, you know, gaudy, unmanageable hardware fix is what it is, I would guess. Well, it's going to come
out. It's a hardware patch.
Yeah, it's a hardware patch. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, everybody loves a patch, right? Patches are meant to fix things. So this is
of course, this patch you have to pay for and put batteries in.
Yeah, and it's going to cost you, let's see, I think around $20. Not too bad, I guess, but still, yes. Oh, it also, it doesn't make your system look, you know, goofy at all. it, you know, it's not like we're tacking on essentially what looks like, you know, something the size of a cell phone onto the right side of your 3DS. Oh,
you know,
man.
It occurs to me what they really should have done when designing this was to make a similar dummy piece to put on the top half of the 3DS so it would at least stay symmetrical.
Well, the weird thing is it's pretty much like an analog stick, but it's a cradle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a big piece of plastic that you slide the 3DS into. So it makes it even more necessarily robust, I guess you call it.
Yes. It's like Nintendo said, this isn't big enough. We need to make it big.
Right.
Let's make it a tray, like a cafeteria tray, you know?
If they did this for the DSi XL, that would be, you know, that pretty appropriate.
You know, I'm looking forward to the pictures of the 3DS with the attachment next to an XL. That should be entertaining.
That would be
awesome. I would imagine
that
so.
Awesome. That will be awesome. So, yes. So, you are technically getting a second analog stick. Hooray. Moreover, the console will have several titles that will support this attachment. You would think. Monster Hunter. Tri-G is coming out on December 10th, the same day as the analog stick. You will also get Resident Evil, Metal Gear Solid, Ace Combat, Cross Rumble, Dynasty Warriors, Kingdom Hearts. Man, I haven't said like an original title in like since the show started. These are all like remakes. Every story's got, oh hey, you know, it's number three, it's number four, it's eight. The height of lazy, I gotta say, is the HD remake. Come on, people.
Yeah.
Come
really.
On.
Yeah.
At least do something nice with. At least add like a perk or something, you know.
On the other hand, having these established franchises have games that support this will probably help to drive along the thing's lifespan.
Yes.
Yeah, but possibly We don't even know if they're new versions of that same IP or if they're just they're just ports.
Well, some of them, Monster Hunter Tri-G is kind of an enhanced port DLE. The Kingdom Hearts game is new.
Okay.
Everything else in between I really don't know about. And I'm looking at this list, and I'm seeing the same problem I saw last time we talked about this, which is that there are an awful lot of games here that will help move the 3DS in Japan, and I'm not seeing a lot here that I think is going to help move it here that much.
Kingdom Hearts, maybe?
Maybe.
But
maybe.
What was
but
the last Kingdom
this
Hearts?
This market sure had... Yeah,
when was the last Kingdom Hearts? Oh, that's a loaded question.
When
the last entirely new Kingdom Hearts was probably Kingdom Hearts 2.
Which was, 2009?
That was PS2 days.
Oh, no. That was, 2007 or something?
Yeah, wasn't that long ago?
That was PS2 days. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm told that Birth by Sleep is probably the closest thing for the PSP, the closest thing we've gotten to a new Kingdom Hearts game up to now, and not just a remake of one of the previous ones. But I've also heard it's quite good. But I, you know, I'm having flashbacks to the mid '90s and Street Fighter 2. We're just waiting for the company to learn to count to three.
I was getting exasperated just thinking about it.
Well, I mean, it's sad that when Kingdom Hearts 2 came out and everybody had played it, that was like one of the hottest properties around. And now we're just beaten down by the mention of Kingdom Hearts. We're just like, oh god, again, here we go again. It's sad, and to think it's like, I mean, I don't know, how can you mess up that the first two games? But they did. How could you mess up a portable PlayStation? They will on December 17th.
Well, so again, haven't they been doing that for like six years already?
Yeah, but I mean, this is going to be the real deal, XV. That was just a warm up. The PSP.
This is the good failure, trust me.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the PS3 on wheels, the PlayStation Vita, debuts December 17th in Japan. It has as little as 3 to 5 hours of charge. What is this? It's like the first generation Game Boy, the Atari Lynx. Oh no.
Sega Nomad?
It's the state of the art PlayStation Vita. But it will be region free. So woo. So yes, if you have $390 to spare, or $325 to spare, you can snag one.
John, I have a question for you. You previously have stated in previous shows that you are interested in actually getting one.
Yeah.
Is this thing still tugging at the heartstrings or what? Like,
That's interesting. No. I would say, here's the deal. Like, am I interested in it? Yeah, probably just because, like, every Sony system is incredibly sexy when you look at the hardware. And, like,
yes.
The potential.
Like, well, Sony in general is just good at making hardware.
Yeah, they're a hardware company. So
Sony is really good at potential.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
The other thing I've been looking at with this is that proving that they learned absolutely nothing from the PSP, it also includes expensive proprietary memory cards.
Yes, I think that's the most important thing we can talk about on that.
Yeah.
But what do they want for the 2-gigabyte memory card?
Like $30, something like that.
What? That's a steal back in, like, 2005.
No, it wasn't.
But Rob's absolutely right, because, like, you know, when you read stories about the PlayStation Vita, they read, like, the press release from the PSP. It's kind of sad. So, of course, like, you know, they have a big fighting game, or the fighting game of the day is going to be a launch title. It's going to be Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. They have, you know, some reruns of games that were popular 5 years previous. So
hey, Katamari.
Yeah, right? Oh, hey. Hello, Ninja Gaiden. You know, that kind of thing. You know, Metal Gear Solid. How are you? Final Fantasy X. Yes. So, oh, and then also, yes, this is going to cost you, like, a month's rent, by the way. December 17th.
Actually, between, you know, the big release list of ports and rehashes and all the other things, it sounds like an unholy fusion of the releases of the PSP and the 3DS.
Yes.
It's probably the worst of all possible worlds.
Yeah, absolutely, right? If it worked then, it's going to work now.
Perfect storm.
It is a perfect storm. Let's see here. Let me see here. Looking through. Oh, so much good stuff. So much good stuff. Oh, here's a good one. We'll go to break on this note. Okay, so the PS3 is known for its speedy firmware updates. They are also often mandatory, so you can't do anything until you update your hardware. That's kind of annoying, but also kind of understandable, because you think those hardware updates, those firmware updates, are fixing problems. Turns out the latest one is fixing Sony's problem, because if you accept the mandatory firmware update, you also sign away your rights to join any class action lawsuits from here to eternity. Yes, so Sony, masters of PR, thought this was a good idea and, you know, a good note, a good stamp on 2011. Guys, I take it you probably read the story by now. What is your reaction to this? Is this one of those things where, like, at this point we just write off Sony as being incredibly insane and out of touch? Or is this something that, you know, you think they're gonna backtrack on, or they're gonna learn their lesson at some point? I mean, what's your reaction to this story?
Well, I don't know about the backtracking, but the fact that they do put a clause later down in the terms of service update saying that if you send in writing, you can opt out of the arbitration clause. I don't think that's gonna really leave them to backtrack. That's just gonna be how it is from then on. Anybody who knows enough to know that's there is just going to have to do that to get out of it. But for myself, I think I figured the PS3 was a write-off when they specifically updated the firmware so you couldn't put Linux on it anymore. Because, yeah, I mean, why? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You do one crazy thing, and we can only expect you're going to do 4 or 5, you know.
Besides, I mean, it's Sony. This is not exactly an unexpected thing for them to do. Not to me, anyway.
You would think, though, they would learn their lesson on trying to do things under the radar, you know.
In my observation, companies that say, okay, you have to sign away as many rights as we can get from you just to deal with us, don't learn lessons.
No.
Yeah.
No, because they signed away their right to learn lessons at some point in their own past.
Probably.
So sad. So sad. Okay, so when we come back, we're going to talk about game rental services, Netflix, Quixter, rise and fall of Rome we are seeing. Rome is burning in its giant red envelopes. But it also brings to mind some interesting discussion points on video games and video game rental services. So when we come back, we will dig into that and maybe have a few more quick hits in news. This is New Soundwave 97.
Magnavox presents Odyssey, the electronic game of the future. Odyssey easily attaches to any brand TV, black and white or color, to create a closed-circuit electronic playground. Odyssey gives you all the exciting action of hockey and 11 other challenging... play and learning games for the entire family. Odyssey, a new dimension for your television. Now at your Magnavox dealer. He's listed in the yellow pages.
It came from the third dimension, with its own brain, its own voice, its own legs. There's only one problem. It needs your eyes. Virtual Boy, see it now in 3D. If you're not playing on a 3DO system, what are you playing with? Presenting 3DO, the most advanced home gaming system in the universe. It's time to put away your toys.
Get a free John Madden football and Crash and Burn when you buy a 3DO system.
Neo Geo Pocket Color with 16-bit power, linkable to the Sega Dreamcast, revolving joystick, 146 color display, six cool styles. The graphics will blow you away. Neo Geo Pocket, way ahead of the game.
New Soundwave 97, coming to a close, coming down the stretch. Hey, another reason you may want to consider canceling your cable, Xbox TV may be launching this fall with the capability of cable programming. So Verizon has denied that it is talking with Microsoft, but they have cryptically said, stay tuned for the future. So that's stupid. Why don't you just... we are talking to Microsoft. You don't have to be coy about it. You don't have to tell us no, we're not talking. And we then you know, put your finger up to your lip and look around. And
they're like, we're interested, but maybe not. But maybe
you flirty bitches. Just give us the goods. soon, very soon, the Xbox may be offering cable to its subscribers, or anybody who's basically on Xbox Live, essentially. Think of it that way. Guys, if this becomes reality, would you guys seriously consider using this as your cable provider, the Xbox?
Well, actually, a funny story, we can't actually get cable service where I live.
Huh?
They don't bring cable out this far out from the town, so we're stuck with satellite, so I couldn't even if I wanted to. But that's how much in the sticks I am.
The thing is, like, okay, so I have Netflix, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah.
Still have cable, and there's so many ways to get television legal and not so legal on the internet these days.
Don't I know it?
Yes. Yes. Preach it, brother. Preach it. That, you know, there really is, if you want to take the plunge, you can probably shut off your cable now and not miss too much.
Well, isn't that what Peter does?
Yep.
Yeah. Peter, do you do that?
Yep.
See, I'm not brave enough. I don't have the balls to do that yet. But you do, sir.
Yeah, so I think living by myself has some perks, you know? So it's
actually a progressive futurist.
Yes.
It's nice. I'll have to wean the girlfriend back onto it. But I think it's actually pretty nice because I found out I was watching some football games. I was like, man, I can't watch football games on ESPN anymore. And then, bam, Xbox for ESPN for Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
I was watching, right, like, split-screen college football games. It was crazy. It was awesome.
So you don't miss cable or you don't, like, want cable at all, right? You don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I didn't really grow up with cable, so even till, like, having cable since I went to college, I still didn't really know what to do with half of these channels. Plus, there was nothing really on half of these channels.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, what you do with half the channels is ignore them because they might as well not be there.
Because it's like Jersey Shore or Say Yes to the Dress or Bridezilla or Kate Plus Eight or whatever the hell those things are.
Yeah.
It's just
extreme couponing.
Yeah, extreme couponing, you know, all the, you know, like the stupid reality shows that I really couldn't care less about. So that kind of helped, you know. If people just love to surf television on, they'll like it. But
well, the thing about it is, like, there's also, frankly, and we don't know how long these will last. These may be the equivalent of, like, Napster, but there are plenty of sites out there, you can find them, that have that stream television and, you know, recorded programming 24/7. All the time, and you know, it's essentially free TV.
And if you've got a nice enough HDTV, you can actually watch it on your real TV instead of your computer.
Yes, it holds up. So I mean, there are ways. I guess at this point, it's kind of a question of really, do you want to take the plunge or not? Because it's a realistic, you know, proposition to cancel cable, cancel satellite, and just make do with what the internet can provide you, and soon the Xbox. Also. Mm-hmm. One of the options you have had for years, we've had for years, is Netflix. And that brings us to our topic. So Netflix, as you may or may not know, is undergoing the meltdown of all meltdowns. 2 weeks ago, Netflix was probably one of the most beloved companies in the country. Everybody loves Netflix. Everybody can't live without Netflix. Sure, we were a little annoyed when they started charging more for discs, but we understand discs are kind of old and expensive, and, you know, it's expensive to mail stuff, so it sucks, but we kind of got over it. And then Netflix said, you know what, we got a good idea. We are going to split that service off onto a new company called Quixtar, and we are going to, you know, just have like a small thing about you having to create a new account and keep a different queue and, you know, essentially double the work on your end. And, oh, yes, still pay us like $8 a month. And then if you want to follow us on Twitter on Quixtar, it happens to be an incredibly profane guy who already owns that handle. And
it's
maybe you don't want to follow us on Twitter right
it's
now.
It's a pot-smoking Elmo or something like that.
Yes, it's pot-smoking.
Yes, and my understanding is that before Netflix announced the Quixtar split, that person had not been active in several weeks.
Which is funny, because he was probably getting, like, tweeted at left and right, and he was like, what the hell's going on? I don't sell DVDs. What are you talking about? I don't have Golden Girls Season 4. So, yes.
Well, he might. You never know. He is a pot-smoking Elmo.
He might, and everybody loves Golden Girls. So,
especially Season 4.
Absolutely. The best season. Estelle Getty was at her peak then. Anyway. So Netflix is undergoing this brand service meltdown. People are confused. The stock price has dropped like a rock. They don't know who they are.
Bye, baby.
They don't know who they are anymore. But one of the interesting tidbits they mentioned was Quixtar may start offering video games. So it will be a competitor to Gamefly and a couple others. That brings up the question for you guys, kind of the topic for the week, is these game services, the services that, you know, are essentially Netflix but games. Have you guys ever dabbled in those? Has that ever, like, seemed like an attractive, you know, thing to you? I mean, what do you guys think of that model? Do you think its days are numbered? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Game rental reminds me of when I was a young child, when we had a neighborhood video rental store, and they rented Nintendo games for like 99 cents each for 3 days. On the nostalgia point, it's kind of appealing, but the reality is I just don't care enough about playing games these days to really make it worthwhile. I mean,
so you wouldn't like play through the games fast enough.
Almost certainly not.
To like keep them going, like Netflix. The thing about Netflix is, I guess, or movies is, so what is it like? A tops 2 or 3 hours, and then you're done. Like, so you know, you're done with what your rental.
It's also great because you can keep them for as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the thing about it is, I think like I'm pretty sure GameFly will charge you. You know, if you keep the game for like 3 or 4 months. It's going to cost you like $80 by the time.
Yeah, they're just going to keep charging you your membership. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's like $18 a month.
And if you don't want to go with the subscription mailway plan like that, a lot of Redboxes now are offering video game rentals too for I think $1.50 or $2 a night.
$2 a day.
Yeah.
I
actually would probably be more likely to do that since there's no, like, recurring cost associated with that, except for the time I actually keep the game out.
Yeah.
It's not a monthly fee when I might not use it for 2 months before the next game.
Yeah, I'm a little leery of recurring charges like that anyway, but that's, you know, just my personal paranoia. Only time I've ever actually used GameFly is I've bought a couple of used games off them, and every time they've been great shape, so I, you know, got to give them compliments for that.
Do they have pretty good prices on used games?
Yeah, actually, they have some of the best prices I've seen around. I'm kind of thinking about getting Transformers War for Cybertron from them because they have it for $15 right now. So,
okay,
really?
Yeah,
not bad.
The 360 version too?
I think so. Not 100% sure on that.
I might have to look into that.
I guess so. War for Cybertron. A good game, a decent game, worth $15. I'd say that.
I'm also hoping Dynasty Warriors Gundam 3 will show up sometime soon, but
or in my case 2 or 1, whatever.
2's probably in its way. 2 is probably the best of them, but 3 is really pretty on an HDTV. So,
yeah, I'm more just thinking about, you know, which one would be $15 first.
See, I think the issue with they haven't really gone through how they're going to do Quixster and the video game rentals. If it is just like Netflix for the DVDs, like how it is now, and you can keep it for as long as you want, that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. That'd actually be pretty great. However, if they do, you know, like a GameFly or GameTap kind of thing, which is like here's a trial period for like a week. And then you have to pay like $18 a month after that. And it's like, I can't, like, XV, I can't finish a game that fast. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Especially games now. Right.
Because
some games have no end now. Like, you know, like three-player shooters. There's
even
no
if you
end.
Think, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, nowadays, a lot of the games are moving on to co-op or online multiplayer, right? So the idea is games never really end anymore. So what's the point of actually renting it? Unless you just... There's still some people who don't care about that. They just play through the single player and then boom, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like there are a lot of people who do care about that. Like, you know, like the Call of Duties or the Gears of War. Or, you know, those kinds of things. So,
although I would tend to think in a case like that, you know, somebody would, at least for that one title, they would put down and actually buy the game to keep. They might, like, use the rental service to see if they're into it, but after that they would just go ahead and buy the game.
Yeah, that's,
or they keep it out of the rental service so long that they would just, you know, obtain the game.
Yeah, I think that's like the way to go, right? To rent it is to just say, oh, I like this game, so I'll return it and then buy it later or something like that. Mm-hmm. It'd be a game trial. It wouldn't be like a game rental. It'd just be like a game tester or something.
I mean, that's how I've always seen the video game rental model. you know, you rent it. If you like it that much that you would want to keep renting it, you would just go buy it at some point because you're spending more money on the rental then.
True.
I wonder if the fact that downloadable demos are pretty readily available now makes rentals programs less appealing than they once were.
It seems like, that is just another reason that it's a bad time to get into video game rentals. You know, it
seems
we've listed like three or four good reasons why you would never like rent games at this point. to be honest, especially when you consider this. By the time you get through like all the incentives they have now for pre-ordering games, you know, these days, you probably, you know, in lots of cases, you'll pre-order a $60 game, you'll get $10, $15, sometimes $20 worth of stuff for pre-ordering. Then you play it for a while, and then you sell it back to any number of people or places for like $40. A few weeks later, and you're out of pocket almost nothing these days, you know, for a big blockbuster game. So, and so many gamers know how to play the system like that. You know, it's there's no real reason. And it's not like video games take up a ton of space anymore. You know, it's not like we have the giant NES cartridges.
I miss those.
I do miss those. With the laminated plastic fancy black cases that you slip them in. Very nice. And the furniture that they sold for your NES cartridges.
What? Absolutely.
What? Yes. Oh, yeah, they sold.
You don't remember?
Peter's 12, so Peter doesn't remember.
All right, I didn't get into these lavish lifestyles of getting my video games. furniture,
trust
okay?
me, my friend, they were not lavish. They would sell, like...
Was it like
Well, this was back in the day when, like, TVs looked like furniture still. You know what I mean?
Right. It had, like, an arm. It was, like, a whole, like, armoire thing. You had, like, put, like, jewelry in the boxes and stuff.
Yeah. You're like, is that a sarcophagus? No, it's my TV.
Actually, and a more modern take on that would be, is that a sarcophagus? No, it's a Microsoft Xbox.
Yes. And it doesn't work. So they did all sorts of stuff. So I was looking through like a Sears catalog, don't ask me, from like 1985 or something like that the other day, and they had it was like a wooden cabinet. It was built to fit your NES cartridges, like and your system and your controllers and all this.
I remember
good stuff.
Seeing ads for stuff like that in the video game magazines at the time too.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy, man. It was crazy. Also in the chat, I posted a picture of a branded one. With a horribly deformed Mario with, like, soulless eyes and just an all-around kind of creepy vibe going on. But it is a Nintendo cabinet, hence it is awesome.
Oh, although, what I want to know is what the shelf above the NES in that picture is for.
Let's have a look-see.
The NES. The SNES. No, it looks like somebody just made this. They bought, like, a thing from, like, Office Depot.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they were expensive looking. I'm not saying they met your standards, Peter, but they were real.
Well, it doesn't have the Nintendo seal of approval, so therefore I'm not buying it.
Okay.
It's not good enough for my NES.
Right. It cannot have happened. This didn't happen. It was a lie. They actually still do, to a lesser extent, furniture for video game stuff. I know they did like a... like a tower for 360 and Wii, where you could, like, on the side, it had a rack where you could hang your Guitar Hero guitar, and then in the center, you could put your games.
And they had, like, little charging stations and stuff like that.
Yes. That's stupid. I'm going to be an old...
I don't know. I think any dedicated furniture for your video game stuff is kind of stupid, but...
Yeah.
I don't think that's a new development.
Yes. Well, I mean, I have like a shelf that has, like, right under my TV that has my Xbox and stuff, but I wouldn't say I would ever buy furniture for it. It's just
You have, you know, little entertainment centers or whatever for your DVD players and satellite boxes and what have you, and you can put your video games on there too. It's just not a dedicated platform for that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've totally seen this cartridge holder.
Yeah, I'm posting all sorts of crappy furniture.
Yeah, and it has a Nintendo seal of approval. I would buy this.
Okay.
I remember the cartridge cabinet. I do remember that.
It looks like a
And it does have the Nintendo seal of approval. Nice.
It looks like a doorless bread cabinet is what it looks like. Seriously.
Do
you remember, like, the... it was for sewing stuff, the little thing with the drawers in it. Your grandmother probably has one. It reminds me of that, the little thing to keep the buttons and the needles and everything separate.
Yep.
Like the sewing tackle box deal.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Only for, I don't know, Mario 3 and, Rad Racer.
Does this say this is by ALS Industries? It's made by Lou Gehrig's disease?
Oh. Maybe. It's falling apart.
Oh.
You see that the box is all, like, dystrophied?
Yes, we went there.
That's awesome. Anyway, yeah, Nintendo had a bunch of this stuff going on. Hey, Nintendo, in the NES days, Nintendo was a whore for just about any kind of merchandise. I mean, you know, you could ask them, hey, can we put it on ice cream bars? Yes. Can we put it on, like, bikes? Oh, yes.
You know what I remember? Super Mario fruit snacks.
Ah, delicious. I remember those.
They were pretty good.
Yeah, and even, like, in our commercial breaks on New Soundwave, we've got Nintendo cereal. We've got Sonic cereal, too, but, you know.
Next whatever. Thing you're going to tell me there was Kirby marshmallows or something.
Actually...
Oh, God.
It's possible. It's possible. You know, I bet there's a bunch of, like, contemporary cereal that we don't realize. Like, there's a bunch of recent, probably, video game properties that have had cereal and fruit roll-ups and stuff. We just don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, anymore. You're right.
Fruit roll-ups and fruit snacks, maybe, but I don't think there have been that many licensed character cereals in recent years.
I don't even remember the Sonic cereal, honestly.
No, I never saw that. I really like Pac-Man cereal, though. I wish they still made that.
It was out there. It was out
you
there.
You know, I see the Tiny Toon Adventures breakfast cereal.
Hmm. The Mario Zelda cereal was, like, around for, like, 10 years or something, like, crazy like that.
It was, like, it was, like, the same shipment. It's like nobody bought
yes.
it.
In fact, if you want to buy some, I guess. Oh, never mind. It's just an ad for it. Dang it. On eBay, they were selling it. And I was like, awesome. 25-year-old cereal.
Ugh. It's probably still good. That's the power of preservatives.
I read an article where somebody bought a 25-year-old box of cereal, and it was not pretty.
Oh, okay. Nice. It was like the curse of the mummy. It, like, just
well, I mean, Rob, you could tell stories of, like, old cornmeal, too, but...
Oh, yeah, that. Turns out... Okay, I'll tell the story real quickly. Had an old freezer in our basement. Had to get rid of it, took it out for bulk trash. We opened it up. When it stopped working, we took out all the immediately perishable things 10 years ago and forgot about 6 bags of cornmeal.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
Good stuff. Hey, good show this week, guys. Way to end on a high. Next week we will. It was a high. I mean, you know, you'll probably get high from the fumes from the, you know, the rancid food. And yes, 25-year-old Mario hard cereal. Anyway, okay.
I'm not sure how gamer adults really got into cereal anyway.
Yeah, well, it's fun. We like food. We like video games. We like video game food. What you gonna do? So, actually, next week, let's carry this conversation over. I'm going to get a list of, like, the most bizarre video game merchandise licensing.
Oh,
that'll be
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That'll
be great.
Awesome. Dig into that. We'll have fun. Please join us, because that'll be New Soundwave 98. For New Soundwave 97, I am John DeLuna for XV, for Rob, for Peter. We will see you next week.
2-1-0. Game over.
Mother. You're alive.
Too bad. You will die.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.